In the criminal justice system, feeling regret about breaking the law matters. Juries and judges want someone who's guilty of a crime to feel remorse, and they look for signs of it. But how would they know? Susan Bandes is a scholar in criminal procedure and civil rights, and she studies the intersection of emotion and the law. Steve Paulson talked with her.
So, Professor Bandes, why does feeling guilty or remorseful matter in criminal sentencing?
Well, that's actually the million-dollar question. I'm not sure whether it should or not, but everybody thinks it really does. The public thinks it does, the media thinks it does, judges think it does, and jurors think it does. And they also all think that they can determine whether somebody is remorseful or not.
Why shouldn't it matter? Don't we want people who've been found guilty to feel remorse? Isn't that partly what this whole process is about?
We punish people partly to send a message that what they did is something that's going to lead to consequences and that they shouldn't do it again and other people shouldn't do it again. That's deterrence. We also punish people for retributive reasons, which is, you know, you did a really terrible thing. You should be punished for that. Remorse doesn't play an obvious role in either one of those questions. If we're punishing you for what you did, the way you feel afterward isn't necessarily relevant to that. I think the most relevant aspect of remorse for punishment is it's kind of a rehabilitative idea, right? If you're remorseful, then you're either you want to become a better person, or you might be saying, I did this awful thing, but that was totally out of character for me. That's not really who I am.
Part of the reason why we want the criminal to show remorse is once they get out of prison, if in fact they do, you know, they would seem to be less likely to commit another crime.
Everyone really believes that a remorseful person is less likely to commit another crime, but there's absolutely no evidence that that is true. I'm not saying there never will be such evidence. I'm saying that I've scoured the current knowledge on this, and there is no link.
Really? That's so surprising.
I know it is. It's very surprising, and judges and juries certainly don't think that.
So when judges and juries are trying to figure out whether someone is guilty or how severe the sentence should be, they are looking for remorse. I mean, that factors into their judgment.
It's huge. Well, so, for example, there's a Capital Jury Project, which is this amazing, ambitious project that interviewed many, many jurors after they had determined life or death in capital cases. These jurors were interviewed, and they said that remorse was either one of the three most important factors, or in many cases, the most important factor in determining whether they were going to sentence somebody to life or death. But remorse takes time. Remorse isn't necessarily something that you feel even by the time you've gone to trial. True remorse and true atonement, really thinking through, is this the kind of person I want to be? Can I be a better person? That's not just a fleeting emotion. That's kind of a life change. And yet the law doesn't really care what happens to you once you go to prison.
And there's also the question of whether the person is actually feeling remorse or just putting on a good show of appearing remorseful.
Yes. Is the law really capable of determining whether someone is feeling it and evaluating it? And there we have some other folk knowledge that turns out to be quite inaccurate. It is not possible to look at somebody's facial expression and body language while they're sitting in a courtroom at a trial and determine whether they're remorseful. Not only jurors, but judges are absolutely sure they can do this.
Is the defendant also making eye contact with the jury? Probably all that figures into it as well.
Very much so. There was this one study out of some state court judges in Connecticut, and they were asked, do you think you can tell whether a defendant is sincerely remorseful? And a majority of them said, oh, definitely, I can do that with a high degree of accuracy. And the question then was, well, how can you tell? What do you look for? And half the judges said, well, if the defendant looks me straight in the eye and makes eye contact with me, then I know he's remorseful. And the other half said, if the defendant is looking down at the floor shyly and with humility and not looking straight at me, then I know he's remorseful. Remorse is especially hard to evaluate across cultural lines or racial lines or ethnic lines. Some Canadian judges were telling me they had for years been judging people remorseless when the defendant wouldn't look them in the eye. And then they went to a cultural competency training workshop where they were told that Aboriginal people culturally had been raised to think that it was quite rude and aggressive to look someone in the eye.
Hmm.
And this judge had this epiphany that he had been giving people a sentencing tax for doing something based on his own cultural ignorance. There's a study by Bill Bowers and his co-authors. They studied juries and they found, for example, white jurors would look at a black defendant and find him arrogant and cold, and black jurors looking at that exact same black defendant would find him remorseful. So remorse isn't a thing in the world, it's a communication, and both sides of that communication have to have the same rules in their head about what it's supposed to look like.
Is feeling remorse the same thing as feeling guilt?
No. Well, let me say, first of all, that I think all these emotion terms don't have a fixed, widely agreed upon definition. So the important thing is doing what you're doing right now. Like, let's talk about what definitions we're using so we're not talking past each other. Guilt, I would say, is an internal feeling, probably, that people have. It's also a legal judgment, but I don't think that's what you're asking me about right now. Remorse, in most definitions of it, requires a little bit more than that. Not just that you feel bad about what you did looking backward, but it has a forward-looking component also, which is, I didn't mean to be that kind of person. I want to be a better person in the future, and I want to make atonement. So there's a forward-looking component to that as well.
So you've looked at all this research, which it sounds like very few judges are aware of. Juries, obviously, are not aware of that.
Right, right.
How would you change the criminal justice system based on the evidence that you've seen?
I think a few things can happen. One is exactly that we need to instruct jurors, not only on if we want them to think about remorse, then let's talk about why. Don't assume, for example, that this is a recidivism issue. And let jurors know that facial expression is really not the window into the soul that so many of them seem to think it is. So we can instruct jurors about that. We also, by the way, have to let jurors know that under the Fifth Amendment and our presumption of innocence, people really shouldn't be required to prove their own innocence. And, you know, there's a sort of uncomfortable moment there, too, where a prosecutor might say, well, he never said he was sorry. He really doesn't have to say he's sorry. And finally, expert witnesses are another really important thing. So, for example, mental illness or mental disability can lead to lots of different ways of showing or having difficulty showing remorse. And judges are probably not going to have the kind of knowledge to know how might autism or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder lead to a particular difficulty showing remorse.
You're not saying remorse doesn't matter. That does seem to be a factor in making them better people.
Right. It's a really hard question. If you look at, you know, recently we all watched Larry Nassar in the Michigan State case.
Right, the sexual abuse cases.
Yeah, exactly. The gymnast case, certainly appearing to be extremely unremorseful. And it was very hard to watch. It, you know, made people very angry that he wasn't expressing remorse. Now, that really is galling, right? And we care about that. And the question is, how should punishment reflect that? I think that it's hard to take remorse off the table entirely when you're evaluating somebody's future in the penal system, because it seems so tied in with a lot of other things we care about, like empathy and just a basic sort of sense of humanity and the ability to learn from one's mistakes and grow. And I think part of what we're saying here is that when you're in a courtroom and your demeanor and your actions are being evaluated, it's hard to nail it down to just one or two factors. We do tend to look at the whole person. I don't think we can totally avoid that, but I do think we can give people more guidance. Let's not operate solely on folk knowledge. Let's not put this guy away because you think he's less remorseful and therefore he's likely to recidivate when there's no evidence of that.
Yeah, it's really complicated. Thank you so much for walking us through all of this.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Susan Bandes is a professor of law emeritus at DePaul University. She's written extensively on the role of emotion in the law, and that was Steve Paulson talking with her.